Well, what a wonderful thing to come together and worship. Thanks, guys, for leading us this morning. I think we are privileged people to have the musicians that we have and leaders in the way that they do. And it's a wonderful thing. I just want to honour you, the whole team, not all of them on this morning, some of them out at Immingham today. And so we pray God's blessing on them as well. Well, we're on this series that we started last week, a series on grace. And we're going to build upon grace. Grace upon grace. Is that okay? So that's our theme for this morning. If you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm going to read a passage from there. Just a little recap. If you remember last week, Hugh gave us a definition for grace. And it was the unmerited favor of God to the undeserving and the ill-deserving. How many of you are glad about that?
Yeah.
Because where I am today, I do not deserve it. The salvation that I appreciate and know and experience, I don't deserve it. The things that God has blessed me with in my life, naturally speaking, I don't deserve it, but by the grace of God. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit about my personal journey and hopefully encourage you in your personal journey for the days ahead. So John's Gospel, chapter 1, starting to read at verse 9. And it says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." This is talking about Jesus. "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." How many of you are glad about that? "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And I want to pick up on verse 16 there, that penultimate verse that I read. And a couple of translations. Let me read from the Amplified. I think it may come up on screen. It says, "For out of his fullness," this is the fullness of Christ, "the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift." How many of you can look back in your life and say, actually, yeah, I look back and by the grace of God this, by the grace of God that, by the grace of God that, and it's been a journey of God's blessing and favor and abundance on your life? Well, thank all three of you. The Message translation puts it this way: "We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding, all this came from Jesus, the Messiah. This is our God, who loves us so much. This one who, verse 14 describes, full of grace and truth. And us as his children are the beneficiaries. We receive his grace. We receive his blessing. We receive his favor on our lives. If we're open to it every day." Every day. How many of you know you are graced to be and you are graced to do? Now you might have to think about that for a moment. You are graced to be and you are graced to do. The Apostle Paul says this, and I concur with this in my own life. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, he says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect." In other words, I look at my life and I can see the grace of God at work in my life. I look at my history. I look at my story. I'm not what I was. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I'm not yet what I will be. There's a journey. I'm not the completed deal yet. This is not the finished article you see before you. God is still at work. His grace on my life. There are still things to come. There are still possibilities and opportunities. There are still things that God is working on in my life. And yours as well, by the way, just to let you know. God loves you so much. He doesn't want to leave me, and he doesn't want to leave you where we are right now. He wants to take us deeper with him by his grace. It's grace upon grace. Let me give you a little bit of my story. It's by the grace of God that Jesus revealed himself to me. I was a teenager, and I suddenly realized, having been brought up in church, of which I thank God for, that actually I was not going to be a Christian, and I was not heading for heaven because my parents were. Sudden revelation one day that actually I needed to make a decision to follow Jesus myself, to accept this gift of grace, this gift of salvation for myself. So that was when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, I was very shy. You look at me now and you might think that's a bit hard to believe. But some of you are nodding. But some of you knew me when I was a teenager. And I was very shy, and we used to get together as a youth group in the church. And I remember one particular instance, and Pam's here today, and it was at Pam's parents' house. They used to live on Carl Lane, yeah? And we went to Pam's parents' house, a group of the young people from the church. And it was Christmas time. How do I know it was Christmas time? Because the room was full, and I was sat up against the Christmas tree, and the pines were sticking in my back, okay? So it's Christmas time. And Pam's father said, you know, it'd be good to hear some stories of what God is doing in your lives. And one or two people said some things. And then he said, you know, I think it would be good to hear from more people. And he said, it'd be great to hear from David. I mean, you could have swallowed me up. Yeah, I could have gone through the floor. I was so shy. God's been doing a work in my life. As a teenager, God graced me. Hopefully those of you who remember might agree that enabled me to play in a worship team. I was a shy guy, but I was enabled to play in a worship team. I used to play, for the record, electric guitar many years ago. Oh. It has been known on occasions to come out. But I was graced. I believe that was the grace of God on my life, because my natural default was not to stand at the front. Grace of God works in so many practical ways. When I left school at the age of 16, my qualifications were not brilliant. They were okay, but they weren't brilliant. And I'd had enough with education. I did not want to go into the sixth form like Andy, who was in the same year as me at school. But I started looking for a job. And I had this idea. I'd like to work in a laboratory. I didn't really have the chemistry qualifications, but this job came up, was advertised, and I applied for it and got an interview. I didn't have the qualifications for the job, actually, but by the grace of God, a door opened for me to go and work in that setting. And I had 10 years in that setting by the grace of God. I have been graced with a wonderful wife and three amazing kids. And I don't say that lightly. They're fantastic. You know, Amory's out with kids at church today, and my kids are all serving in different church settings, and that thrills me. It's the grace of God. When we got married, we were asked, myself and Amory, to lead a home group. Me, the quiet one, who would be happy just to sit there and listen to everybody else talk. You know, sometimes when the grace of God is at work, it does take a step of faith as well. You know, there's a bit of outside our comfort zone. You know, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, I don't know about you, but for me, there was a bit of a step of faith. There was a bit of, I sense it's right, and I sense I've got to do it. But what will other people think? And you've got to take a step sometimes. Graced. And we led a home group for a number of years. And then I was invited to come onto a church leadership team at the age of, I think, 27, if my memory serves me correct, something like that. Which was, but what about all these other people in the church? this is a church I grew up in. But something of the grace of God came on me. You know, if we will be available, if we will be open to God, I don't know how many of you listen to the radio in the morning. I quite often listen to Radio 2 because whatever you think of Chris Evans, he's a happy chappy in the morning. On Friday morning, I was travelling to Lincoln, and I flipped between Radio 2 and Radio 4. It's more often on Radio 4 if Amory's not in the car, but this it was just me in the car. And he had a number of guests on his radio show on Friday morning, and they were chatting together. One of the guests was Tom Daley, the diver, you know, the Olympic diver. And Tom Daley asked a question to all the other guests. And he said this. He said, what has been a key moment in your career, in your life, when you just went, wow, how did I get here? How did I get doing this? Have you ever had a moment like that? And it got me thinking, yeah, I've had a number of them. But wow, amazed. Amazed. After 10 years in industry, I was invited to come and work for the church full time as assistant to the minister of the day. And you know, you think, this shy guy, age 16, 17, and the journey that I've seen, and over again, the grace of God. Myself and Anne-Marie were invited to go and lead a church in Sandbach in Cheshire. I never dreamed I'd ever leave a church. Lead a church. It was only a small church. It wasn't a paid position. But God graced me to get up in the morning and open a newsagent at 5:30 every morning. Well, not four mornings a week. To be able to work in that setting. The grace of God. There's grace upon grace. I was invited, myself, to come back here to Grimsby to lead a church that I grew up in. You know, and all these sort of questions come to mind, and even the words of Jesus echoed in my ears, you know, that a prophet has no honour in his own country. And then somebody said, don't worry, you're not a prophet. I think these are people that I grew up with. How are they going to accept me? As a leader in the church, you know, something of the grace of God comes. When it's God's will and God's purpose for your life, there's something that opens up. We've been graced to see two churches come together to create City Church as we know it today. And a wonderful journey of God's blessing and favour, I believe, in that some 7 or 8 years ago. God's opened all sorts of doors in my life. And I think if I look across the congregation here, the story after story, where you can look back and you say, actually, by the grace of God, I never ever dreamed I'd do that. I never ever dreamed I'd go there. I never ever dreamed that opportunity would open up to me. Actually, when I look at my natural beginnings, it's so far away from what the expectation of my schoolmasters would have had in mind. By the grace of God. By the grace of God, we've seen our kids all marry great people, all serving God right now. That's a wonderful thing. We are so blessed and privileged with that. If your kids aren't serving Jesus right now, don't lose heart. Keep praying for them. Keep lifting them up before God. And I wouldn't say kids are my forte. You know, you don't find me in kids' church, apart from the occasional visit. I do leave that to people who are graced for that. I'm not graced for that. But you know, I've been graced to be a grandpa, and I love it. I was with the little fella yesterday. It was fantastic. You know, it's grace upon grace. And throughout the journey of my life, of our life, as a family, as life of church, the grace of God is on us, but it hasn't always been a breeze. There have been challenges at a personal level, at a family level, and at church level. And you have to journey through those, don't you? And sometimes there are struggles and there are challenges, and maybe you are facing some right now, even in your personal walk or family situation. Maybe a bit like me, you had a bit of timidity. Well, I believe God can grace you with some courage, supernatural courage today, as you reach out to him. There's a number of things I think will come up on screen. Maybe you have, I've got anger issues. How can I ever do much for God? You know, God can do something with that. There was something in our prayer evening the other night about breakthroughs in 2017. Let's believe for some breakthroughs. Grace of gentleness on your life. Maybe if lust is a problem, dare we believe that by the grace of God, God can help us in very practical, in very real ways, with the grace of purity. Maybe foolishness. You know, I look back and I've said some foolish things. I don't want to do foolish things. And it wasn't the foolishness that God would acknowledge as a good thing either. Just some daft things. But Lord, help me not to keep saying foolish things. Lord, help me to have wisdom and understanding, to appreciate the people I'm talking to and appreciate where they are at, that the grace of God would be at work in all that I say and do. And maybe you have a natural default position of being a worrier. That is not one of mine, thankfully. I'm very grateful for that, but some people have that. I dare to believe that by the grace of God, you can walk in peace in 2017 like never before. Somebody say amen. Yeah. So how are we going to receive God's grace? You know, we said right at the beginning, we can't earn it. It is not by merit. But I think there are certain things that we can do that don't block it. Huh? So we don't want to put blockages in the way to God's grace in our lives. And number one, I would say, is to humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. Listen to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5. I thought I died and gone to heaven. Then. Right, okay. All of you, he says, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. James says a similar thing in James chapter 4. And again, they're both referring to the words in Proverbs chapter 3. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Believe it or not, it's 3 weeks since Christmas. Ooh, but it's so last year. It does seem ages ago to me. I don't know about you, but Christmas seems ages ago. You know, as we were coming up to Christmas, we think very much about the characters involved in the Christmas story, as we would refer to it. And of course, we have Mary, don't we, who has an angel appear to her and says, you know, you are favored among women. You're going to give birth to a son. He's going to be Jesus. He's going to be the savior of the world. And after the angel goes away, it's described as Mary's song in scripture in Luke chapter 1. And she recognizes and rejoices in the grace of God on her life. And Mary says, verse 46, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of this servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. For Mary, there was a recognition. This is God's doing. This is who am I, this humble servant? It reminds me of the song again that we sometimes sing, who am I? That you are mindful of me. That you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? You know, the God of the universe. Is it true? Yes, it is. How you love me. It's amazing. If we humble ourselves before God, I believe it opens the door to the grace of God in our lives. And the flip side of that, of course, what Proverbs talks about there, shows favor to the humble, but God opposes the proud. Have you ever been opposed by somebody? You know, you just feel this person is against me, either verbally or actions sometimes speak louder than words. Yeah. How many of you would like God to be opposed to you? Don't go anywhere near there. Imagine what that would be like. So let's keep a humble spirit and a humble heart. Secondly, receive Christ and believe in his name. That passage that we read from John chapter 1, it says that Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So he came and revealed himself to the Jewish people, God's people of the day. But they didn't receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not out of natural descent, nor of a decision of a husband's will, but born of God. Receive and believe. Receive and believe. Is there somebody here today who is willing to receive him and believe in his name? To enable his grace to be shown towards you, this gift of salvation. You know, all those examples I gave in my life a few moments ago, all of them pretty much, in fact probably 100%, involved a decision, a choice that I had to make. You know, when we were asked to lead a home group, we had a choice. Nobody came down with an iron rod. We think it'd be great if you led, you and Anne-Marie led a home group. We all had a choice. And sometimes, as I said a few moments ago, there's a little step of faith. Actually, sometimes people see something in us that we never saw, never dreamed or imagined. I remember years ago, Shirley, you're here today. Shirley used to run a service in the hospital chapel on a Sunday afternoon. This was in the old buildings at Scather Road Hospital. And she said to me, I've told this story before, some of you may have heard it. She said to me one week, we used to do it once a month, as I recall. Yeah. And she said, David, we do this service at the hospital chapel. She said, would you come and be a pusher? Bless her, Shirley has led a sheltered life. Would you come and be a pusher? I said, I'm not sure it's what I'm thinking. What are you on about? She said, we push patients from their wards in wheelchairs to the chapel. Would you come and be a pusher? I can do that. I can do that. So did that for a few months. And then she said to me, David, this was a crunch one. I said, David, would you just say a few words one Sunday in front of these gathered patients and people that we had from the church? And I tell you what, I needed a bit of pushing and encouraging because it wasn't my default position. And sometimes we just need to take a step, don't we? Sometimes people see something other in us that we don't always see ourselves. And that's where the relationships in the body of Christ are so important. A step of faith. So let's believe and let's receive. And then let's give. Give yourself to Christ. Trust him with your whole life. You know, the word believe doesn't just mean to give mental assent to Jesus' existence and his status, who he is, but to entrust yourself to him and to rely on him completely. Wow. Wow. To entrust yourself to him and rely on him completely. Paul, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Are you and I able this morning to say, Lord, not my will, but your will, be done in every aspect of my life? Well, I'll tell you something, we all sang it earlier. We sang a song, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Ah, yeah, but that was a song. Was it just a song? Was it the desire of our heart? Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want me to take me, whatever you want to do in my life, by the grace of God, you will enable me to do if I'm willing and open to all that you want. Joe came and shared some words a few moments ago. One of them was, you know, encouraging us not to close off areas of our life. And it is easy to compartmentalize our lives sometimes, isn't it? Well, this is what we do in this setting with these people. You know, we can come here on a Sunday morning, we can worship God, we can say all the right words, we can sing all the right songs, and we can have a smile on our face. And tomorrow, we're in a whole different scenario with a whole different set of people. And is our heart in the same place tomorrow as it is today? Lord, I still worship you. I still say, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. And the other thing he said, you know, is the promise. Basically, this is a paraphrase. The promise is still on. You know, the promises of God are still on in your life. And I want to add a little addendum to some of the thoughts that Hugh asked me to speak on this morning. And it's a passage of scripture I read last Sunday morning. And it's been with me all week. And I shared some thoughts at our staff meeting on Thursday. Because I want us to remember, in this whole thing about being open to the grace of God, to remember the promises of God. To remember them. And Psalm 103 says this. I read this right at the beginning of our service last Sunday. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many want to live in that scenario? The devil wants you to forget God's promises. He really does. Whether promises in the Word of God or prophetic promises over your life, he wants you to forget. But forget not, the psalmist says, all his benefits. Every promise in God's Word is a revelation of God's heart towards you, to what he wants to do for you and through you. I love the thought that Rachel Hickson shared with us. I think it wasn't the last visit, she came with the one before, where she said, you know, let the word do the work. Keep reminding yourselves of the word of God. Keep speaking out the word of God. He forgives our sins. Don't forget. You know, we've shared in communion this morning. Let us never, ever tire of saying thanks to God for the salvation that he brought through Jesus Christ, his son. We sang a song, didn't we, earlier on? For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord our God. This is going to keep going. This opportunity to worship and to praise and to give thanks for all my days, for endless days. He heals all your diseases. How many could do with a healing touch of God today? Okay, there's a few here this morning. Listen what Isaiah says, and he's prophetically speaking about Jesus. And in Isaiah 53, he says, he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. And there's no doubt about Isaiah was speaking about Jesus. Because in Matthew's gospel, it says many came to Jesus. Many were brought to him. Some were demon-possessed. Some needed healing. And it says he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. God spoke through his son, Jesus Christ, brought healing and freedom to people's lives. And the promise is still on today. The promise is still on today. So those who raised your hand a moment ago, just keep revisiting the word. Keep declaring the word, the truth of God. God is healer. He redeems your life from the pit. You know, when I first read that, I was thinking, oh, that's a revisit of the fact that, you know, that we're sinners, we're heading for hell, but God's redeemed. I think there's more to it. And I like one of the commentators who says this. He saves us from death when exposed to danger. Ooh, that's a great promise over your life. He saves you from death when exposed to danger. As soon as I read that commentary, my mind went back a few years to myself and our oldest son, Matt. We were in the car driving home from what was Grapevine in those days. And we were towing a caravan. And we had a blowout on the car. Car and caravan flipped over. We skidded down the A46, upside down, slingshot round, through a fence, in a dike. Car caved in, we're upside down, hanging in our seatbelts in the car. Passing motorist called 999, paramedics and police duly arrived. We managed to get out the car. But the words from the police officer was, "How come you're out the car? How come you're walking?" He said, "Where are you going? What, you know, where have you come from?" So we told him. He said, "We've just been at this big Christian festival on the Lincoln Showground. We're heading home." It was about 11 o'clock on the Tuesday night. And he said, "Well, I want to tell you this. There's somebody upstairs who's been watching over your life. I want to live in the grace of God. I want to live in the grace of God." And then it says he crowns you with love and compassion. That whole thing about crown. Crown is a very visible thing, isn't it? When somebody's crowned, whether it's a monarch or crowned a champion, you know, the champions get up on the rostrum, as it were, and they put a garland around their neck or a medal of some sort. And this whole thing, I believe, is about God wanting to demonstrate his love and compassion in your life and through your life to others. And I think it links with what Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah 61, because he's called you and he wants to grace you for the display of his splendor. This is God at work in our lives. This is what God wants to do. This is him. Points to Jesus. He satisfies your desires with God's with good things, you know, and I'm a believer that God wants to bless us and grace us. And I think there's balance in all that, and I think Paul, writing to Timothy, gets it in 1 Timothy 6:17, where he says, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment." Contrary to some people's belief, God is okay with you having some enjoyment in healthy parameters. He renews your youth like the eagles. What on earth does that mean? Well, there were two things in the commentaries that I read. Number one was, if you think about a bird, an eagle, whatever bird, really, every now and again you see a really scraggy bird, don't you? You're looking out your kitchen window and you think, "What a state of him." And there's like feathers sticking out, you know, at jaunty angles and what have you. And Anne-Marie, who feeds the birds, means we get revisits. You know, they come back again. Same ones come back again. And the one with the jaunty out feathers and all that comes back a bit later. "Oh, he looks smart now. He looks 10 times younger than he did because he's had a change. His plumage has changed. He's shed his old feathers and he's got some new ones." That was one thought of commentators. The other one is like the youth of an eagle. As eagles live long and continue in great strength and vigor. Do you know, bald eagles can live 20 to 30 years in the wild? I didn't know that. Can live longer in captivity. I don't know about you, I'd like to live long and strong in the grace of God. Our words, what are we saying? What are we, you know, when we forget not his benefits, what are we saying? What are we declaring? What is the word on our lips? What's the words on your lips this week? How do you speak? What is our confession? You know, some people, when you talk about the word confession, there's an immediate negative side where we confess our sins, we confess that we're guilty, we confess our faults, we confess our failures. But the flip side is very different with what Paul says. Well, no, it's not Paul. It's the writer of Hebrews, whoever it was. Hebrews 3, verse 1. It's a very different confession. "Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess." Our confession is Jesus and his grace at work in our life. You know, the Greek word for confession is homologio, which means to say the same things. In other words, to say what God says. What God says over your life. We can be affected by all sorts of voices, but God wants to speak over your life and does speak through his word. And prophetically, we've heard encouragement this morning. It means to agree with God. Agree with God. Perhaps the musicians come back and we'll draw this to a close. What does God say? What does God see over your life? We all face challenges. Satan will come and try and get our thinking off the promises of God. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy, yeah? But Jesus said, I've come to give you life. I want to encourage us to dismiss the lies of the devil and to take hold of the words of Jesus and the promises of God. And to declare, can you declare with me today, from a historic, maybe you can, maybe you can't, from a historical context, that there is grace upon grace at work in my life. There's grace upon grace at work in my life. But I hope we can all declare a future promise and hope that there is grace upon grace still at work in my life. Today, tomorrow, next week, the grace of God is at work. I'm going to speak as Jesus spoke. Declare what is written. I don't think it's getting proud or big-headed, because it's only possible because of the grace of God in your life and my life, that we can be who we can be and we can do what we're called to do. The unmerited favor of God to the undeserving and the ill-deserving. But he does forgive all your sins. He does heal your diseases. He redeems you from the pit. He protects you. He crowns you with love and compassion for the display of his splendor, satisfies your desires with good things, and he'll renew your youth like the eagles. Is there a positive confession you need to make today? Why don't you stand? And just in a moment, before the band leads in a final song, is there something that you need to say? If there's something that you need to declare, so that the grace of God is not hindered in your life. You can't desert, you just by what we say won't trigger the grace of God in that sense, because it's not deserved. But God's love and compassion is towards us this morning. And how we respond to that will result in either a blockage to the grace of God or an open door to the grace of God in our lives. So Father, right here, right now, in this place, in this moment, would you come into our lives? Would you draw attention to the promises of your word that are for us right here, right now, as individuals across this room? Would you illuminate your word to the truth, the possibilities, the opportunities, and the grace of God? Now, right now, in your own words, just declare the relevant promises of God that you need to declare over your life. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Breathe on your declared word today in my life, and let the grace of God flow freely and be fully known and expressed in the world in which I work and walk. I pray for each one stood here this morning and sat here today, and that each one who's opening their hearts to you right now, that you will, in your grace and in your mercy, shower your goodness upon us. That, Lord, truly we would be a display of your splendor to this world in which we live, as we hear story after story of your goodness and your kindness and your generosity and your incredible favor towards us. Let your church arise. As we were hearing last week, that the church would not be affected by the world, but we would affect the world because of your grace at work in our lives. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We declare, we believe, we receive. And we say, Lord, here we are, wholly available. Come into our hearts and lives in greater measure. Show yourself, reveal yourself to our world through me, through us, in Jesus' name. Amen.